Chapter 19. Dr. Marcel and his wife greeted us at the door.
"Lizzie, it's so nice to see you again."
Mrs. Marcel hugged me.
"And you must be Sarah. Lovely to meet you."
She gave Sarah a friendly hug.
"Come in, come in."
She ushered us into the front room. Janice and her fiancé, a squirrely-looking man with a goofy grin, stood to shake our hands.
"Hi, I'm Colin."
He clasped Sarah's hand warmly and then turned to me.
"Lizzie, congrats on surviving another year."
His heartfelt handshake enforced his words.
"Thanks. I'm amazed how quickly this year flew by."
A commotion at the front door interrupted, and I heard William's booming voice. I reached for Sarah's hand and gave it a squeeze, noticing a momentary flash of reluctance on her face. William and his date stood off to the side, and their awkwardness oozed into everyone's body language. Opposed to Colin, William's date made zero effort to fit in, and the two resembled cast-off royalty sent to far-flung territories to interact with the subjects.
"Now that we are all here, let's move out back," Mrs. Marcel suggested,
probably in hopes of alleviating the tension. In years past, William and I did our best to rein in our competitiveness for our host's sake, but there was always a ripple of unease whenever we were together. The end-of-the-year barbecues had become such a tradition that it was hard to believe it would be my last with Janice and William. I wouldn't miss William, of course, but it would be hard to say goodbye to Janice. She was like the big sister I never had. Along the rear of a large backyard was a rock retaining wall that blocked off Mrs. Marcel's garden, which Janice and I helped with every spring. Gardening wasn't my thing, but the Marcels had been so nice to me over the years that I didn't mind getting dirt under my nails a few times a year. In the other corner huddled 5 aspen trees.
"Help yourself, everyone."
Dr. Marcel was manning the grill, but he pointed to a large cooler filled with ice, pop, and beer. Next to the cooler, a folding table offered several wine bottles, and another folding table held plates, silverware, and napkins. From experience, I knew that within a matter of minutes, it would also be piled with heaped platters of food. I popped the top of a Mountain Dew, and Sarah laughed.
"What? I haven't had one in years," I said.
"You're going to be bouncing off the walls tonight." She selected an Easy Street Wheat, a local beer.
"Is that a bad thing?" I whispered in her ear.
She squeezed my arm.
"It depends. Will you be able to stay focused?"
"Stay focused on what?" interrupted Janice.
My face felt as red as the wine in Janice's glass.
"Never mind," Janice sniggered, and then rounded to Sarah. "How did you two meet?"
Before she could answer, William and his date joined us.
"Hi, I'm Sarah."
She extended her hand.
"Sarah, right."
He nodded as if he were the head of the CIA and she was talking in code.
"I'm William, and this is Prue."
Prue shook my hand and then Sarah's. Her fingers were ice cold, and the handshake was the weakest I'd ever experienced.
"Is that short for Prudence or Prunella?" asked Janice.
"Prunella."
She didn't say anything else, but her pursed lips and death grip on William's arm told me she was a blue blood from back east who felt uncomfortable around the heathens of the West.
"Prue was an old family friend."
William patted her hand, suggesting they were more than friends. They'd probably been betrothed since birth.
"That's neat," Janice replied,
not even bothering to make it sound like she meant it.
Her gaze flicked to me, and I knew we were on the same page. Prue was just like William. Colin wrapped an arm around her waist, a Coors Light bottle clutched in his other hand. Sarah watched William and Prue with an amused smirk. I could tell she was already warming to Janice and Colin.
"So, Sarah, how did you two meet?" Janice asked again. "I'd ask Lizzie, but she's the type who only gives information on a need-to-know basis."
Janice nudged my arm.
"I introduced them."
Dr. Marcel entered our circle, still holding his barbecue tongs. He snapped them in my direction, and then Sarah's, clearly thrilled with his matchmaking skills. Janice twirled to face me.
"Really? Do tell."
I almost blurted out that there wasn't much to tell, but Dr. Marcel seemed so pleased with himself that I let him continue.
"Sarah came to my office in the hopes of sitting in on one of my classes with a group of her students," he told them.
Knowing the story, I tuned out, taking the opportunity to compare the two couples. Janice and Colin melded together naturally, with Janice leaning comfortably against her fiancé and sipping her wine. William and Prue were the exact opposite. She clutched his arm so stiffly that they reminded me of a painting of an aristocratic couple from yesteryear. Overly formal, vacant eyes, and not a lick of warmth between them. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Mrs. Marcel bringing a tray of food from the kitchen, and I let go of Sarah's hand to help out. I had to hand it to Dr. Marcel. He was weaving quite the tale, considering there wasn't that much to relate. No wonder his students loved him. He could make watching paint dry sound interesting. To be honest, he had to. Some aspects of history were just as tedious. "Here, Mrs. Marcel, let me help you." I took the heavy platter from her frail hands. It was overloaded with bowls of potato salad, pasta salad, fresh fruit, baked beans, deviled eggs, homemade mac and cheese, coleslaw, and chips. She was a thin, bird-like woman, unlike the plump professor. I'd always wondered if she was a few years older than him. I knew Dr. Marcel was 71, but she seemed closer to her 80s.
"Oh, thank you. You're always such a help."
She touched my cheek.
"Oh, dear, I forgot the cornbread in the oven."
Mrs. Marcel settled her hopeful eyes on me, and I almost laughed.
"Of course, I'll be right back."
When I returned with the piping hot cornbread, the group was congregated around Mrs. Marcel and the food.
"Can I get anything else for you?" William asked.
He glowered at me as if I were a younger sibling trying to outdo him. Then he shoved a handful of potato chips in his mouth and munched loudly. I tried to suppress a smile at the thought that he was pretending they were my bones.
"That would be lovely, dear," Mrs. Marcel answered. "In the fridge, can you bring the platter with the cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, pickles, and other toppings for the burgers?"
"Be back in a jiff."
He kissed her cheek before rushing off like he'd been sent to rescue a kitten from a fire. I turned to catch Janice's eye, intending to mock William, but I noticed a look of concern on her face. She rolled her eyes sideways in Sarah's direction. My girlfriend was staring off into space, avoiding all eye contact. I sidled up to her.
"You okay?"
"What?" She flinched, as if she'd forgotten where she was.
"Lost in La La Land?" I said.
"No, just thinking." She adjusted her floral skirt, plastered a smile back onto her face, and sidestepped around me to thank Mrs. Marcel on the spread before us. Dr. Marcel, still finishing his grilling duties, gestured for me to join him for a private chat.
William, who'd returned just in time to witness that, gave an annoyed sniff.
"Do you need a hand, sir?" I asked, joining him.
Dr. Marcel set the tongs aside.
"No. It's come to my attention that Meg's request to return to school isn't a secret."
I scratched my chin, not sure where this was going.
"I know I told you I was considering it, but I've decided it's best for everyone if she doesn't come back."
He squeezed my shoulder.
"You don't have to worry."
He had no idea how much worry I carried.
"I've talked with former colleagues back east. One who now teaches at Yale has experience with Meg's issues. She might be welcome there, as long as she cleans up."
"That sounds like an excellent opportunity." I resisted the urge to jump in the air and tap my feet together.
"Does she know this?"
"Yes. She arrived in New Haven this morning."
"What about the drinking?"
I held my breath.
"My friend is recommending a place in Florida. If Meg completes the program, she'll be able to start as a research assistant this September."
He squeezed my shoulder. Had he done all of this for Meg? Or me? Both, probably. Mrs. Marcel called to her husband, and he smiled and went to her, leaving me in a daze.
"I take it he finally made up his mind."
Janice, never very far away in moments like this, said from behind me. Still dumbstruck, I nodded. Had Meg's name come up while I was inside? If it had, what did Sarah know about her?
Janice jerked her head in Sarah's direction.
"I really like her," she whispered. Hooking her arm through mine, she led me back to our dates.
"Me too," I thought, watching Sarah.
Her color had returned, her cheeks now almost as pink as her shirt. She glanced at me, but edged away a little when I came to stand next to her.
So many thoughts reeled through my head. Hopefully no one pulled up a picture of Meg, Janice, and me, the Three Musketeers, on their phone, or something idiotic like that. Janice would never do such a thing after everything, and William hated me enough that he'd never keep any likeness of me on his phone. However, he'd always had a thing for Meg.
"Okay, folks, dinner's ready."
Dr. Marcel scooped the last burger onto a tray filled with brats, burgers, and steaks, and we all made a beeline for the serving area. I selected two brats, a burger, some fruit, pasta salad, baked beans, and mac and cheese. Sarah pointed to my plate.
"Here, you forgot this."
She scooped a portion of potato salad next to my brats.
Thanks.
William and Janice raised their eyebrows at each other. They'd teased me in the past for never tasting it. Mrs. Marcel smiled.
"Why, Lizzie, are you finally trying my potato salad?"
She patted my back.
"It's my grandmother's recipe," she told Sarah. "I still remember the day she taught my sister and me how to make it, so many years ago."
Her eyes misted. "Lizzie told me it's the best." Sarah ladled a much smaller portion onto her plate.
"Here, let me, doll."
Colin took Janice's plate from her and started to fill it.
"Thanks. You want another beer?"
He nodded, and Janice fished a Coors out of the icebox and refilled her wine glass.
"Teamwork. That's the secret to a great marriage."
Dr. Marcel nodded.
"That's how the missus and I have lasted all these years."
He pinched her cheek tenderly.
And learning to tune out the other,
Mrs. Marcel added, with a bemused glint in her eye. What's that, dear? Asked Dr. Marcel, without a trace of humor.
Janice and Colin sniggered. William and Prue were too busy picking through the steaks and burgers to notice. William's plate was almost as full as mine, but Prue's only held a steak and some fruit. Sarah's potato salad sabotage meant that half my plate was covered in it, even though she'd said I only needed to take a bite. I was in the doghouse, and I knew it. But I couldn't muster up the courage to ask whether the problem this time was Meg, or Miranda, or both. Or maybe she got another strange text from Haley and was nervous about the Michael situation. I could only hope.
For the first 10 minutes of our drive home, Sarah didn't utter a single word.
Thanks for coming with me tonight, I said, in a weak attempt to break her out of her trance. She nodded.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. You?
I've always liked the Marcels. They're the closest thing I have to family.
Did you?
Sarah stopped abruptly and stared out the side window instead.
Would you mind dropping me off at my apartment? She said after a while. I just remembered I forgot something I need for class tomorrow.
Sure, not a problem.
I put my hand on her thigh. She didn't pull away, but she didn't rest hers on top like she normally did either. I pulled into the parking space next to her midnight blue Mercedes.
I'll wait for you, I said.
That's okay. I'm really tired tonight. Call me tomorrow.
She threw open the car door and got out. I leaned over to say goodnight, but by the time I got the word out, she'd already slammed the door shut.